A civil court jury in Charlottesville, Virginia today found the main organizers behind the deadly 2017 Unite the Right rally liable on 4 counts, but deadlocked on 2 key charges. Lisa Desjardins explains.
A jury in a nearly month-long civil case involving the violent Unite the Right rally ordered white nationalist leaders and organizations to pay more than $25 million in damages. But the jury deadlocked on charges of a federal conspiracy in the lead-up to the rally, which led to the death of a counter-protester, Heather Heyer. The rally was planned in part to protest the removal of a statue of the Confederate General Robert E. Lee. The plaintiffs described emotional trauma, broken bones, and bloodshed during that rally. For more, I'm joined by Ian Shapira, an Enterprise reporter at The Washington Post who's been covering the trial. Ian, the jury decided this after a month-long civil trial. Can you tell us exactly what we know about that decision? What did the jury decide?
The jury handed down a pretty stinging rebuke to the people who organized this rally. They meted out millions of dollars worth of punishments to the participants. They awarded a total of $26 million in damages against 12 individual defendants, 5 white nationalist organizations at the trial. It was a message sent by the jury that this kind of violence cannot happen in today's day and age.
But still, what about those federal conspiracy charges that I know the plaintiffs also hoped to prove? Why do you think that those were tougher for the jury? And what does it mean that those were left unaddressed?
That's actually a great question. And that's something that the plaintiff's attorneys want to continue fighting for. They told us at the end of today's verdict, at the end of today's hearing, that they plan on appealing those or bringing back those charges again. These were important counts, very crucial to the plaintiff's attorneys and to all the advocates who wanted to see real, serious reform. They had sued the defendants under an old law meant to protect enslaved black people from the KKK in the late 1800s. And in that respect, this case was considered kind of like a landmark case under those particular counts. The plaintiffs instead, though, won on state claims instead. So that's where we are right now. It's still a pretty big victory for the plaintiffs and those activists who wanted to send a message to these white nationalists and white supremacists.
As you say, the legal proceeding here was very complicated. I know the jury instructions alone were 77 pages long, but this revolves around really a simple and dangerous divide that this country is experiencing right now, in large part over race, over our identity, over the past. What did you hear in this trial about where the white nationalist movement is now and if they are standing by racist beliefs?
The white nationalist movement that inspired this particular event has largely cratered. I mean, it's dispersed. Many of the finances of these organizations are just non-existent. Several of the organizations have gone underground. So for that component of this story, you have seen a real victory for folks who want to see those forces eradicated and gone. But as we all know, white supremacy and white nationalism still exists very much in the United States. We see this every day, basically. So this lawsuit was important in beating back the forces that prompted so much violence. And so on that day, these kinds of lawsuits could be used in the future for other events that might happen.
This particular case has been watched for years. What happens next here? Do we think that the plaintiffs in this case will get this money anytime soon?
It really remains to be seen. What's going to happen next is that defense lawyers will ask the judge to reduce the penalties and the punitive damages. And there are state laws that limit or that actually put a cap on punitive damages depending on certain cases. So they're going to go for that. And it sort of remains to be seen how quickly the money can be extracted. I mean, it also remains to be seen how much money these organizations or individuals have at all in the first place. I mean, they could extract future wages, impose liens on their properties. It all just depends. We're all trying to figure this out actually right now.
Mm-hmm. One last question. You've been there in Charlottesville. I know how tense it has been over the past couple of years. What's the feeling there now after this?
I think the sense in Charlottesville is exhaustion. I think they're exhausted with everyone, to be honest. They're exhausted with the story. They are exhausted with the news media, frankly. And they are, of course, exhausted with lawyers and for white nationalists and the white nationalists themselves, constantly showing up in court all the time for various hearings. We've gone through so many different criminal cases, and this particular civil litigation has dragged on for a while now. And so I think they're quite relieved that at least part of this is over. What we're trying to figure out now is whether the plaintiffs will file a new lawsuit trying to win on those two federal claims that they didn't get a verdict on today. So that remains to be seen. So, but the sense in Charlottesville is that they still have issues that they're dealing with here in terms of rates and inequality, and they're just exhausted, frankly.
And at times difficult, but a very important story. Ian Shapiro, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for letting me be here. Appreciate it.